All right, thank you, folks. Let's open our Bibles to the book of Revelation. We've missed a couple of weeks being gone. Brother Perkins taught Sunday school, I believe, for us. Is that correct? Amen. He didn't go fishing. He stayed here and taught Sunday school for me, right? Well, that's good. Anyway, we're going to move on in the book of Revelation. We had finished chapter 8 and be starting chapter 9 this morning. We have to review Revelation a little bit because I hate to say it, but some of you are not here all the time. And it's the kind of book you need to kind of know how to rightly divide and keep your foundation in place. We remember that chapter 1, verse 19 divides the book. It's a key verse to help you divide it and understand it. And in that verse, we have three ways that we look at it. And verse 19 of chapter 1, John was told they're on the Isle of Patmos, exiled out there for his testimony. He was told to write the things which thou hast seen. That would be chapter 1, the vision God gave him of the whole book. And the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. So 1, 2, 3. Now we end the things that are hereafter, because we've gone through chapter 2 and 3, the things which are, which would have been the church age, ending with the liberal church, the Laodicean church at the end of chapter 3. In chapter 4, we believe we have pictured for us the rapture of the church, because John hears a trumpet, has a voice like talking to him, and calls him up to the throne of God. And there he sees the 24 elders and all the beasts around the throne, and he begins to weep there in chapter 5, because around the throne he sees the seven seal book, and no man's worthy to open it. And then one of the elders says to him, "Don't weep, John. Somebody's prevailed to open the book." And he saw that the Lion of Judah had prevailed to open the book. But then as he looked, he saw not a lion, but a lamb with its throat cut, as it were. And the Lord was the Redeemer and the Overcomer that had the right to open the book through the shed blood that you and I know he shed on Calvary for our sins. And so he takes the seven seal book from him that's on the throne. And in chapter 6, he starts opening the seals. We get down to the sixth seal. And the sixth seal at the end of chapter 6 actually takes you chronologically almost to the end of Revelation. Takes you all the way to chapter 19. We'll get there. We'll see the heavens opened. Heaven's only opened twice, so to speak, in the book of Revelation. It's opened in chapter 4, verse 1, when John hears the trumpet calling him up there. We believe that's probably the rapture. And it's open again in chapter 19 when somebody comes down. And that somebody is the Lord Jesus Christ, King of kings, Lord of lords, leading the armies of heaven on the white horse. And if you're saved and if we're caught up, we're going to come back with him in Revelation 19 to help him set up the kingdom on earth and rule and reign with him. So chapter 6, the sixth seal, takes you all the way to that point. But the book of Revelation, don't ever think about it too much in the chronological order. Think about it as God sees it. God sees it all at one time. You know, you can walk up to a great big picture on a wall somewhere, and you'd see the whole thing at one time. You can go back and start at the front and go to the right or to the left, but you see the whole thing. You remember in the book of Revelation, there's a time... And that's a little facetious to say it this way, but there's a time when there is no time, when time is rubbed out. Time shall be no more, the scripture says. And so we get a picture God is showing us in the whole book. So rightly dividing is so helpful. The book of Revelation is the key to the whole Bible, I believe. Because you see, it's like reading the end of the novel and finding out who wins. You know, who the hero, how he comes out. And that's what you have in the book of Revelation. So now we'll come back through it, and we'll go verse by verse and chapter by chapter and try to, as much as we can, put it in the right place. For instance, what we're going to do in chapter 9 now is we're going to be seeing stuff that happens during what we call the tribulation period. We believe on planet Earth, 7 years of tribulation, especially given to Israel Jeremiah 30 tells us it's the day of Jacob's trouble, special time, the 70th week of Daniel. And the tribulation is that 7 years, we believe, that finishes up the vision that Daniel saw in Daniel chapter 9. So what we'll be studying today, as it was in chapter 8, I think is fitting probably, can't be too dogmatic, but I'm pretty sure it's fitting in what we call the last 3.5 years of the seven, because the seven is divided very clearly in the book of Revelation. It's called 1260 days. That's months of 30 days each. 1260 days would be half of the seven. Also, we read where it's called a time and times and a half time. 1 + 2 = 3.5 makes it 3.5. So it's designated very clear in the book. And it seems like the worst part of the tribulation comes in the last 3.5 years. Antichrist is establishing his kingdom, taking over in the first 3.5. With all this COVID and virus business talk today, there's a lot of folks wondering, aren't we getting into the edge of the tribulation period? I will say this, there's a lot of pestilences that come on the earth. There's even some viruses, if you read the book of Revelation close, come on the earth. There's some bad stuff. And you and I are praying the rapture don't wait too long. Because I've had enough of this already, hadn't you? And we sure hadn't got into it very deep. But I'll just make this observation. Anytime man tries to solve a problem, he's more than likely going to make it worse. And that certainly has been the case, as far as I'm concerned, with this thing. Much worse. And I was reading in the Ledger when I got back a couple of days ago. They was talking about how the test, it's all you hear, you know, is the test and all this. By the way, to test positive does not mean you have the virus and the disease. It means you could also mean you've had a taste of it, and now you've got a resistance to it. You need to get, but they don't talk about that much. But I did read in the Ledger where it said that the tests were so fouled up until you couldn't count on the figures. That's about as much truth as you're going to get out of them. But sure got folks scared to death, hadn't it? But with all that said, the book of Revelation tells us sometimes it's going to be much worse. Much worse. And as we studied in chapter 8, we talked to you several times in chapter 8 about the mountain that's burning with fire that seems to come out of space and hit earth. And it's called wormwood. It poisons the water. It kills a lot of people. It burns up the trees and grass. And we pointed out to you that NASA, while the regular news don't talk about it much, NASA has admitted they've been watching and tracing and reporting on a big asteroid that is going to hit Earth if it's not knocked off course. And the interesting thing is they think the designation part or where it would land on Earth is out there around the Mexican-California border. More than that, they set a date on it. That's what you'd like to hear, isn't it? October 2029. That'd be 9 years from now, wouldn't it? 9 years. Well, if we believe this tribulation period is 7 years, and the rapture is going to take place before the tribulation period, and I do believe that. I'm trusting that. I know there's a lot of discussion about it, but I'm what's called a pre-tribber, because I believe the tribulation is given to the Jews and not to the church. But if that be the case, and that thing that NASA's tracing is the same one, it maybe may not be. By the way, they got a plan. Don't it really encourage you to hear they have a plan? Like Ronald Reagan said, the most awful words in the English language is, I'm from the government and I'm here to help you. I understand what he means by that. Somehow we just don't trust it that much, do we? But anyway, they have a plan. And the plan is to shoot a rocket or an atomic missile of some kind up there and maybe put a nuclear explosive on that asteroid and explode it and bump it off course. All right, trust that if you want to. Let me tell you the truth. I do know. I do know whatever God said is going to happen will happen. I do not know if this is the thing they're talking about that we read about. Could be. Sounds like it very much. But if they knock one off course, God's got another one to fulfill the book. It will be fulfilled. Now, the good news is if you're saved, you have every hope in the world of not being here for that. And I hope that is the case, of course. So we had that in chapter 8. Now in chapter 9, we're going to go still again, I believe, into tribulation events. Probably the last, certainly the last 3.5, I would say, in chapter 9. And some terrifying stuff. Planet Earth's not going to be a pleasant place to be on for those that are left behind that don't get saved while they can believe the gospel and receive Jesus. So in chapter 9, now the angels have been sounding, one woe following another. The last verse of chapter 8 said, woe, woe, woe. Sam Jones, the old evangelist, said, when God says woe, you better stop. Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels which are yet to sound. The trumpets seem to sound as a voice. The rapture is described as a voice and a trumpet. And this last verse of chapter 8 says, look out on earth, some worse stuff is coming when these angels sound their trumpets. So it says, and the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth. And to him, wait a minute, I saw it was a star. No, it's a personality. It says, to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. Now think on something. Don't we call human beings stars today? It's a pitiful thing how our young folks worship stars over Jesus many times. Rock stars, Hollywood stars. Yeah, I don't know who started that business that man was a star. But this is a personality. And he's receiving a key. He receives a key, and you generally unlock something with a key. Receiving the key of the bottomless pit. Now the question comes up, how can you have a bottomless pit? Well, with God, all things are possible, of course. But, excuse me here, even in man's imagination, you can have a bottomless pit. There are geographical pictures, and I'm not vouching for it, but there are geographical pictures of the core of the earth. And it's supposed to be so hot and so forth. I don't know all about the science part of it, but the Bible does describe something what you and I would relate to being maybe in the heart of the earth. Hell itself is often spoke of in the scriptures being down and lower parts and stuff like that. Now, excuse my coughing. I don't think it's COVID. I've had it since I was 4 years old. In fact, I think COVID might faint at it. It's been around so long. But anyway, I'm playing with you now. But somebody said, you go to Landmark? Yeah, I heard the preacher cough. One lady, she may be here this morning. One lady moved from parts north. First time she was in the church. Heard me preach. And folks asked her how she liked it. She said, I couldn't understand him. You got to remember, she was speaking a foreign language, north, I'm south. She said, I couldn't understand him. They said, you're not coming back? She said, oh, I'm coming back till I do understand him. And she said, I think she's still here. With all joking aside, the bottomless pit thing here is a possibility, even in man's thinking. Let me give you some examples. If you were in the middle of a basketball and it was continually spinning, you might never hit bottom. You wouldn't know where bottom was. If you were in a donut and it was hollowed out all the way around like a car tire, you could spin forever and never hit bottom. Now you might bump into the sides once in a while, but Isaiah 14 speaks of the devil being brought down to the sides of the pit. Don't say the bottom, says the sides of the pit. So even humanly speaking, we can tell you there's such a thing as a bottomless pit, right? But this bottomless pit here is a bad place in the book of Revelation because of what we see coming out of it. And this star, this being, this creature comes down with a key and opens it up. Verse 2. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there rose a smoke out of the pit. Now watch the scripture. Oftentimes it'll say something like as. Here it says, opened the bottomless pit, and there rose a smoke out of the pit as the smoke of a great furnace. Didn't say it was, but as. And the sun and the air was darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. Now we're going to find the locusts coming out, but we understand they're not natural locusts. You know the way the folks in Africa and other places try to fight the hordes of locusts when they come to devour their crops? They set the woods on fire. The smoke is a deterrent to the insects. And if you've seen any fogging and stuff like that, fog is basically smoke. It might be a smoke off of a chemical, but it's basically a smoke. So this is different. This is different. The pit's open, the smoke of a great furnace, skies darkened by it. In verse 3, and there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power as the scorpions of the earth have power. Now, locusts basically, you know what they look like? They look like grasshoppers. You couldn't tell the difference if you had a locust in one hand and a grasshopper in the other. They come in great hordes, great volumes. In my background, worked for a company one time that used to take us in training sessions and show us pictures out of African countries and other places where the great hordes of locusts would literally make it look like it had turned dark because you couldn't see the sun. And it would show the greenery of the forest or the crops or the corn crop, whatever it was. They would show us in the film how it looked before they got there and how it looked within a few minutes of them passing through. Every leaf off of every tree was gone. All crops were eaten up. And just tremendous what they could be. And that's the natural locust, but these are different. These sting you. A regular locust won't sting you. These have some poison in them. These are different. Says they have a power like the scorpions of the earth. Now, if you've ever been stung by a scorpion, they got different categories of them. Some are worse than others, but you don't want to get stung by any of them. They're not good. I remember one time talking about how thick they could be. I was driving my service truck on Highway 33 from Lake Alfred to Polk City. Many of you know where I'm talking about. I think there's a big old red barn out there where women left to go to get a bargain or something. But anyway, that road. And it was the middle of the afternoon. I'm going to say 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I was driving my service truck. Not much traffic on the road. Just me at that time. It was hot like it is now. Summertime. And I could see something in the road glimmering like somebody had spilled a liquid across the road. I knew there was no rain around, and I thought, what in the world? Has somebody spilt some diesel fuel or something up here? The sunlight was reflecting off of it. Well, I slowed down, and it's a good thing I did, because when I hit it, it was millions and millions of grasshoppers, which I say look just like the locusts, very close kin, and they were migrating from one field across the pavement to another. They were crawling They were not flying, they were crawling. They were literally on top of each other. There was a space of highway that would have been at least 60, if not 100 yards of that pavement was covered with them. And I slowed down quite a bit, but almost not enough, because when my tires began to crush them, they were slick. It was like oil on the road, just crushing them all to pieces. I couldn't hardly believe it, but I slowed up and opened my door and looked at them. Unbelievable. You couldn't have got out and taken a step there without being right in the middle of them, on top of them. Now, that's the kind of hordes locusts do on Earth. And if you've watched any news, of course, with all the other bad news, they don't talk much about earthquakes and locusts and things like that much anymore, but they're still around. And there's people in certain parts of the country having trouble with them even now. But these are supernatural locusts. It describes them here. They came out of the smoke, locusts upon the earth, verse 3. And unto them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth. Now, wait a minute. The natural locusts, that's what they eat. Anything green. Neither any green thing. So these are different. Neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. Now, in Revelation 13, we'll study about the mark of the beast, but we also realize the devil is a copycat. God seals his people, and the devil, Antichrist, is going to seal his. They're going to give the mark. We preached on that just before we left a little bit. We preached how that folks will take the mark, and that paper back there, I mentioned the announcements there. Brother Staver, Matt Staver, the Liberty Council Law, Christian Law Group, says the fear right now is they're going to come out and mandate that you take the vaccine, whether it's proven to work or not. And I talked to you in a sermon. I see how some of you remember. I said there was two big reasons people would take it. Bible's reason is they can't buy or sell without it, so that's economical. The other big reason is medical. And if you don't take the mark, which will contain all your medical history, you won't be able to fill a prescription. You won't be able to get a doctor's appointment. So, well, how will they know whether I took it or not? Well, I gave you some material the other night, Sunday night, whenever it was. The Bill Gates Foundation and others that are trying to find a way to depopulate the earth have got some real inventions. I talked with a guy, in fact, on the phone this morning. I guess it must have been about 6 a.m. out in California. I talked to him on the phone. They're 3 hours, I think it is, ahead of us. And some people out there in some knowing places know what is coming, what is planned. And they're coming up with a scanner. And if you have the little chip, or whatever it turns out to be, the mark, at a distance, they can tell whether or not you've been vaccinated or not. Now, has anybody had any trouble getting in a store without a mask? Wait till you have to be vaccinated to get in the store. Huh? I joked with them Wednesday night. My wife and I drove 25 miles to the nearest Walmart up here in the mountains of West Virginia. And you had to have a mask. Oh, I guess it's worldwide. Had to have a mask. It's okay till I went to look for them amongst all them ladies that had masks on. I pulled a mask off of 3 women before I found my wife. Now, I told church that. That's a lie, of course. Got along okay till I ripped the mask off and there's a little big beard behind it. All right, I'm playing around with you. Didn't do none of the kind. But the static you get now is nothing about what you'll get if you're not politically correct and you're still here when the Antichrist sets up his rules. Amen? Oh, boy. It's coming. But then this is what God is doing. He's bringing judgment now. And it says it falls on everybody that don't have the seal of God in their foreheads. We read to you in other places, Revelation 14, other places, that God's going to also punish those that receive the mark of the beast. And the devil is a counterfeiter. And of course, I'm believing that we're going to be out of here before the mark is forced on people. I hope so. I believe the scripture teaches that. But verse 5, and to them it was given that they should not kill them. Wait a minute. The locusts are going to steal. They're going to torture. They're going to hurt with their pain. But not kill. Not kill them. But that they should be tormented 5 months, verse 5. And their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when it striketh a man. Now, if you get you a big scorpion, a dangerous one, and there's more than one category, and all of it would be bad. Some people can die of a wasp sting, of a bee sting. Depends on your makeup and so forth. I was working inside of a man one time. Good Christian guy. I went to church with him. And I was younger, and we were working. All of a sudden, he said, take me to the doctor quick, quick, quick as you can get me to the emergency room. I said, what in the world? His name was Vern. I said, Vern, what in the world are you talking about? He said, right now, right now. Well, I dropped everything. We got in the truck, and I headed for the Winter Haven emergency room. We were about 10 miles away. He explained to me, I just got stung by a wasp. And if I don't get there quick, it'll kill me. Now, that seemed, I've been stung by a lot of wasps, and I don't like it. But I never thought it was going to kill me. But see, when you have that kind of problem, and he had that kind of problem, we got there in time, but he was sick for a while. Now, the whole thing is, a scorpion is worse than a wasp. And a supernatural scorpion is going to hurt for 5 months, going to torment these people for 5 months. I don't understand all that except to say God is punishing some folks. And it says it don't kill them, but it torments them. What it seems to be saying is they would prefer to die. They wish, you know, have you ever heard folks pray to die because they hurt so bad? Oh, yeah. Yeah, I have. I mean, death would be preferable to the pain and so forth. So it's going to be a terrible time here in the near the end, I believe, of the tribulation period. And these scorpions are going to show up. Now, this angel sounded, this personality came down, opened up the bottomless pit, and these things came out, and their job was to torment men for 5 months. And it says in verse 6, and in those days shall men seek death, prefer death, seek death, and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. Now, folks, that is describing an awful situation, awful pain. Now it describes the locusts, and my time, I'll just barely get this verse 7 in. And the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses. Prepared on the battle. Prepared on the battle means the old medieval horse that was dressed up. You've seen those. They even had a mask on the face of the horse. Mask. Anyway, if you'll catch your grasshopper, probably easier to catch a grasshopper around here than a locust, and you get your magnifying glass and look him in the face, it will remind you of a medieval horse that the knight rode that had that mask on. Very much remind you of that. And that's what it's describing here. Now, shapes of the locusts like horses, well, that's pretty big if we're talking about size. Prepared to battle means they're dressed in a certain way. And on their heads were, as it were, crowns like gold, and their faces was as the faces of men, and they had hair as the hair of women. Wait a minute. That's not politically correct no more to make a difference in the genders like that, to actually infer that women's hair might look different from men's hair. All right, I'll leave you hanging on that one. Time is up, okay?